Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
A few months ago, I got an email from, I guess, the chair of my college reunion committee to remind us about getting our information in, you know, that we needed to write about, and just reminding us it was our 50th reunion. And as I read that and it sunk in, I asked myself, how did that happen? Seemed like I was just walking off the campus. And I used to see, when we used to go back to reunions and see some of the previous classes, and they had been out 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I said, wow, these guys have been around for a long time. Now I'm running those guys. But one of the things that we were doing is to ask to write reflections about maybe our classmates, the ones who had made their transition. And there were several that I knew, but it was one in particular that I had a particular affinity for and connection with, and his name was Gregory Allen Howard. And I remember that because when I was earlier in my college experience, you know, I had some doubts as to why I was there. You know, whether or not I was good enough to be there. And you know, it seemed like everybody around me was, you know, smarter, had better preparation than I did. And it seemed to be so much for me. And I was sharing this with Howard. I said, you know, I don't think this is a place for me. I think I'm going to get out of here. And Howard's, you know, being a historian, he ended up being a historian, history major. And he said, you know, he was very much into a lot of stuff, particularly black history. And he was telling me about W.E. Du Bois, and Du Bois was talking about the talented 10th. He said, you know, you're part of the talented 10th. In fact, because you're here, you're the 10th of the talented 10th. So you need to stay here because you got great things that you need to be doing. So he gave me a pep talk. And I remember I just continued to stay after that. And those doubts disappeared. And I wrote about that in my reflections about Howard. And I shared about his particular journey in a way that only he can tell it. He was a magnificent storyteller. And he was sharing that one day he was in New York. He was working on Wall Street, and he was doing really well, but he wasn't really happy with what he was doing. He went to see a movie. And he saw that movie, and when that movie was over, he made a decision right then and there that he wanted to write movie scripts and screenplays. So he was, at that time, he was 48 years old, starting completely new, going to Hollywood. And he said he didn't know a soul there. He didn't have any connections. He didn't know anyone's name. He said, I didn't even know a secretary's name in Hollywood. But he showed up. And he said that he worked in telemarketing between 5 and 9 at night, and then during the day between 8 and 9 hours a day, he was cranking out movie scripts and screenplays. He did this for like 3 years. And he said he sent out 2,000-3,000 query letters to see if anybody was interested in his scripts, and he was never getting any responses. And he said he was about to give up. And he said he went to one last set of movies to watch. And he said he watched 4 movies that day. It was kind of like, I don't know what he described it as, but it's like, you know, somebody was getting ready to say, well, I'm going to, you know, unalive myself the next day, but this is the last thing I'm going to do before I leave here. So he went to the 4 movies, and he went to his apartment, and he said it was in a really bad area. You know, we had a lot of gang members there. And there was a message on his machine. And on the machine, there was a message from a script reader. And the script reader said, you know, I've been reading some of your stuff. It's good stuff. Let's talk. And so, to make a long story short, one of the screenplays that he had written was for the movie Remember the Titans. And it's one of the top sports movies of all time. He also, you know, wrote a movie, a script for Ali, Muhammad Ali, called Ali. He was also, I think, who was in that movie? I can't remember who played. Will Smith played Ali, and he wrote the script, a co-script of Harriet, about Harriet Tubman, and a number of plays. Anyway, Greg lived an amazing life. And every time I think about Greg and how he said, we're here to be amazing, I think of that song that said, amazing, amazing, you are here to do amazing things. I don't know all the words, but anyway, I remember that part. I think we're here to all do amazing things in some way. And I think we do that. I believe we do that when we begin to uncover our spiritual self, our true self. Because each of us are unique, unrepeatable expressions of the Spirit of the living God. There's no other persons like you or me at all. The mold was thrown away. It kind of reminds me of a statement from the ancients that says that imagine if you took all the waters of the planet, and you put all those waters together, and then you put an inner tube right smack dab in the middle of all of those oceans of water, and a turtle's head would randomly turn up every 1,000 years, the odds of that turtle's head popping up and coming through that tube are greater than you or me having a human incarnation. And according to the ancients, there are infinite number of spiritual beings, but only a limited number of bodies to get into. So they're all in that other dimension, elbowing each other, trying to get into this body, no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad the life is going to be, they want to be here. So they're reminding us that our human incarnations are precious. They're rare, because the odds of having one, maybe one in 10 trillion, who knows? So the way that I look at it, the Spirit of the living God loved us so much, it gathers the greatest, the strongest, the most capable, the most fearless spirits and said, do I have a place for you to do amazing things? We're here to be amazing. Of course, it's a journey, and amazing is different for everybody. But this journey is about releasing the life energy and releasing that inner splendor and walking in that awareness and tuning into being something we've never been before so that we can do what we've never done before. That's here to be what we've never been before so we can do what's never been done before, do amazing things in whatever world that may be. And I say in order to be that something, in order to do that something, we have to uncover our spiritual self. We must express who and what we really are as children of God. And to do that, we have to overcome false beliefs, our self-imposed limitations. You know, I was thinking about Greg, and he was talking about, you know, going to Hollywood and how people were telling him, you know, at his age, it's never going to happen. You know, he was willing to go into the unknown. He didn't have any names of any connections at all. He didn't know anybody in his family that did that work, but he was guided to do what he was here to do. So our spiritual work is not just about being happy with who we are. Now, don't get me wrong, happiness and joy, I believe, is a basic to our being. But here's the deal. I believe that we come to do our spiritual work play so that we can become something that has never been before, to do what never has been done before so that we can be different. You know, Greg used to say that, you know, when earlier on he was one of the first African-American full-time screenwriters. There's others who had done other things and maybe were producers and writers and actors and writers, but he was full-time doing it. And he said it was lonely work. And he had to have a mindset that had a vision for what was possible for him despite what had happened up until that time. He had to transform his own thinking. And it reminds me of what Romans 12:2 says, that we're here to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're not here to conform at all, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds and renewing of our hearts. So he asks the question, where do we start? Well, it begins by having the right definition of ourselves, our right identity of ourselves. I was seeing the other day on some social media about an elementary school teacher, and she had put a mirror in the hallway leading up to the entrance to the classroom. And every single morning, she would have her kids or students walk up to the mirror and say to that mirror, to themselves, what they liked about themselves, what was true about themselves. And they said lots of different things. You know, I'm a good climber. I'm a good friend. You know, I'm a good drawer. You know, I ride my bicycle better than anybody, whatever the case may be. But every day she had them reinforce something good about them because it was providing the right map, so to speak, to guide their journey, to guide their life. And if we do not start out with the right perception of ourselves, then we're often defeated even before we begin. We got to see ourselves rightly. Sometimes, you know, I hear many people that fed false beliefs about themselves that lead to the statement that, oh, I'm not good enough. But that's never the right perception of how God sees us and how we really are. It is not the right map for life. You know, I remember when, before that, I guess they had Google Maps, they had other guiding thing when they first came out to help you get around. You know, I just remember, I don't know if I remember, I used to get around, you had to have a map. I mean, a real map, know how to read that thing and how to get around from place to place. But anyway, you know, things advance. But I remember one time I had one of these devices, you know, the Google Maps that show you around, and it was telling me where to go, and I was trying to get to this particular store, and I ended up in a place that was nothing but a deserted lot. There was nothing there. And I realized as I looked back that I had put in the wrong address. And I say that because I don't care how good the directions may be. If it's based upon wrong information, it's not going to get me where I want to go. And I think the same thing about life. If we don't have the right information about us, about ourselves, that we're not going to fulfill our destiny as expressions of the presence of God. You know, as people know, part of my story that in my early life, I had my own addictions, and I ended up going to a rehab center. And there was a gentleman there who was a counselor. His name is Ralph Malloy. I never forget him. And I was sharing my tales of woe and all that was going through in my life and, you know, why me kind of sort of thing. And he knew about my story and my background, and he would just pose a question. And he said, just consider this. Maybe you might have seen yourself as abandoned and therefore unworthy and maybe not consciously, but unconsciously on some level you began to accept that about yourself. That's all. Don't have to say it's true, just something to consider. And of course, I contemplated that. I looked at that and realized that I had created a vision for myself that was not true. And I created a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I realized that the moment that you and I or anyone accepts a belief that we are not who we truly are in the mind of God, we separate ourselves from this presence. And we begin to act from that falsehood. We carry ourselves that way and become open to thoughts that roll through and then become our experiences. But each of us are unique, unrepeatable, magnificent expressions of the Spirit of the living God right here, right now. And so we have to begin to release those things that are not true. And so there are some things that we can begin to practice to activate the truth of our being. You know, in Philippians, the third chapter, 13th verse, it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us. And as I thought about that, I remember one time I had left town, and you know, sometimes you drive through, you know, certain streets and you see some men, sometimes women, working on the street, repairing the roads. And I always see that happening, and sometimes I wonder, are they really repairing the roads or are they putting more potholes out there? But anyway. anyway, I was watching these guys. They were watching it, and you know, you could see they had their instruments, and they were about to come down and kind of break up the concrete to put in some more, I imagine. And I remember I came back a week or two later. I saw the same guys in the same place doing the exact same thing. They were just going on the downstroke, like they had just been repeating the same thing over and over again. So the point is this, too, is that there is a point. We don't want our past. We don't want our conversations about our past to become our future experience. So many times we may have conversations in our head about our past, what has happened to us, what it meant to us, and all those particulars about it, and all the ramifications and all the ways we have coped and defended ourselves because of what has happened in the past. And what has a tendency to happen? The conversation, the story about our past, or how things have always been, become our future experience. That's primarily because we're not allowing the gifts of God to come into our life. You know, as I thought about my friend Gray, with some people say, nobody started out your age to succeed in Hollywood. Well, he did not go to that past conversations that individuals had to determine what his life was going to be. That would be accepting a belief that someone has placed on us as being the truth. And when we capture God's idea of us, we become new, we become different. We allow the expression of the Spirit to take us over, and we stop the old story. So we want to hear this statement and let it sink into our awareness that you're familiar with, and that's this. Don't believe everything that passes through your mind. We have no idea where those thoughts may have come from. They may have come through some mind that has no enlightenment at all, and we picked it up as our own. We want that to sink in. It's an old metaphysical axiom that we see from time to time on a bumper sticker that says, in another way, don't believe every thought that you think. We're talking about words ringing in our head that we have accepted as truth, but has nothing to do with the amazing beings that we are. Words like, how come I'm not enough? Why can't I be happy? What if I'm not good enough? What if they reject me? Don't believe everything that you think, everything that runs through your mind. That may be an opinion that came from someone else. It may be some propaganda, a lie. Don't believe it just because it's moving through your awareness. We must be able to discern whether this is real or fake belief. Whether it's a false perception from the past or whether it's coming from spirit. We want to ask, does it carry love? Does it carry kindness? Does it carry spiritual growth and development? Does it carry generosity and love and givingness of the heart? If those thoughts are not the quality of God, if they're not amazing qualities, fire them. Let them go. You're released. You're fired. Because we uncover our spiritual power. As we begin to do that, we realize that every thought that we think is a seed pod for our future experience. And if we're rushing headlong into our future based upon our past, all that we're doing is becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy of what has already happened in the past. It has nothing to do about being the greatest we can be. We may just become, you know, a different model and make, but it'll be the same old stuff if we're not willing to fire those thoughts. And that's why I think when we look at the words from Apostle Paul, it says, die daily. We're here to learn how to die daily, not physically die, but to let go of those things that no longer serve us. Let them die. For here's the thing. All spiritual growth is about letting go of something. As we heard that song that the Lurie and was singing. See what happens when you be out of college for 50 years? Was singing about Michelangelo. And they were asking him about how does he do those great sculptures? Where does it come from? He says, it's already in the stone. All I'm doing is removing all the other stuff to get to the sculpture that is already there. So we need to die daily. To let go of that which does not serve us, does not allow us to reveal the truth of who we are. I think as a spiritual family, as a global family, we must become something we have never been before in order to do something we've never done before, particularly in these times. You know, when you look at the world of appearances and all the things that are going on, the political divide, the cultural clashes, the conflicts and wars, as we look around and see all the wars going on, we see so many things. We know that anytime you have a war on anything, it's just going to amplify and proliferate that which we're giving war on. We must totally give up the concept of having war on anything and begin to open up ourselves to an entirely different possibility, and so that we end up not creating the very thing that we do not want to see. So as we contemplate our individual and global past, we want to fire many of those stories about the past that have set up the future based upon that past. You know, one of the reasons that we acknowledge the season for nonviolence and the work of King and Gandhi, you know, we've often heard about the idea that whatever conflict is going on anywhere, even in our own minds, against another person, between groups or countries, that we're going to have a war that's going to end all wars. The reality is, there is no war that ends all wars. There's only peace that ends all wars. Because whatever energy we send out, it does come back to us eventually, not only globally, but also in our lives. So ask ourselves, what energy am I sending out today? What am I radiating? What am I vibrating at? Because that is what I begin to keep in my life. So as we acknowledge the season for nonviolence, I think about A.T. Ariadne of Sri Lanka. It's also known as the Gandhi of Sri Lanka. And he was a strong believer in the principles of Gandhi, of nonviolence. And I think he won the Gandhi Peace Prize in the 90s. And he just demonstrated his commitment to peace. And he was in Sri Lanka, and he went into certain areas, and he was assisted in stopping of the civil wars there. And he goes in with what he called his nonviolent soldiers. And he leads the way, and he's like 30 paces ahead of everybody, and the rest follow him to bring a spirit of peace and harmony to their community. And they go in and they make the sides talk with each other to see each other's perspectives. And oftentimes Ariadne's life would be threatened because, you know, war was profitable to some people, and if he was trying to stop that, then he was taking money and food out of their mouths, so to speak. And so there were some assassination attempts on him. And he discovered, you know, one assassination attempt that was supposed to take place the very next day. And before he went into town, he went to the man's house, and he knocked on his door. And the man opened the door, and of course, he was shocked to see him. He wasn't planning to see him till the next day, if at all. And Ariadne said to him, you know, "Dear sir, it has come to my attention that you have a job to do, and I have a job to do. Your job is to unalive me, and my job is to love you, and I want you to know that, you know, I'm going to do my job, and I don't want you to do your job tomorrow like you said you were going to do it or was told you're going to do it, because somebody else might get hurt. I don't want that to happen. So you do what you have to do, and I'm prepared to do what I have to do." And so the man could not follow through on what he was assigned to do to end his life, end Ariadne's life. And it says in that story that he put his weapon away and said that if he had been raised by a man like him, he said, "I would not have turned out to be the man I am today, so I cannot do this." So he ended up joining Ariadne and his nonviolent soldiers regime and spreading that peace. But I think the point is this: Ariadne did not succumb to the belief that anything was more important than his willingness to show and demonstrate and live from a consciousness of love, to have compassion, to have kindness, to be a simply amazing spiritual being. He understood the journey of his soul was to release the inner splendor and that divine presence and compassion. And he never allowed the priority of anything else to take precedence over that belief that he had. You know, there's a statement that I remind myself of from time to time that I got from a spiritual teacher that said, you see what you aim at. And if you do not like what you see, take aim at a new target and manifest a better experience. I always think about it. Imagine if everyone would redirect their energy from conflict to peace, from hate to love, from separateness to a realization of our oneness. Oh, how the consciousness of our planet, of our communities, even of ourselves would shift. As we have a different energy and a focus of our energy, we will have a different experience because energy flows as our attention goes or where our attention goes. And as we go on this journey of uncovering our spiritual self, we turn our attention to our true identity as spiritual beings. And as we do that, we transform our life and everything around us in ways beyond our imagination. But it starts with us. You know, we sing that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth, Let It Begin With Me." That is so true in so many areas. As I looked at that video of the young kids saying those affirmations about themselves, to themselves, something within them was changing, and that will spread out to even more of the world if we start with where we are. So just indulge me for a moment. Just repeat these words after me. I am enough.
I am enough.
I am loved and worthy.
I am loved and worthy.
I deserve to feel joy. I am abundant.
I am abundant.
I am getting healthier.
I am getting healthier.
I am open to all opportunities.
I am open to all opportunities.
Just take those words in. You know, they say when we speak our words, the cells of our body temple begin to dance in ways they never imagined. And as we embody words like that, we shift from what's wrong to what's right and what is possible. I mean, imagine the news and the social media being used for upliftment and healing and transformation and real education. Imagine it. Imagine we don't want to get rid of technology. We want to spiritualize it. Imagine the consciousness of upliftment being the content of what we see online or what we see on television. And consider this. Everyone, I'm sure, here knows someone may have been diagnosed with what they call the incurable disease, but through prayer, something happened. And everybody listening or watching this has at least one person that they know that has had this experience where some sort of healing took place. And what if the news that we saw every day, people who had so-called incurable diseases, but they kept on healing themselves, people with insurmountable obstacles, but through the gifts of spirit, they kept surmounting those obstacles. The gifts of kindness and love and forgiveness began to take place. What if you read and read in all of the headlines that said something to the effect as an introduction, amazing things that happened today? What would happen? We would begin to step into the awareness that all things are possible. That's what would happen in our consciousness and our awareness. The cynic within us will begin to die from a lack of attention. Just as an aside, somebody told me if you ever have somebody in your house that you're trying to get rid of, just empty up all the refrigerators. They'll leave. Anyway, just a tip. Anyway, as I close, I just know that there was a man who had passed on and made his transition. And he went to the proverbial heaven. And he got there, and he was shown around by St. Peter. As I like to say in these stories, it's always St. Peter. I don't ever hear about any of the other saints. But anyway, St. Peter must have paid somebody off, but he's always there. And the man saw all of these boxes in the rooms that he passed by, but did not go in. And the man asked St. Peter if he could go into one of those rooms. And St. Peter said, well, you don't want to go in there with all those boxes. They are for the people who are there. And the man asked, well, do they have a box for me? And St. Peter said, well, yeah. And after being badgered so much by the man, he finally relented, let the man go into the room. And the man got in there. And he looks for his box. And the boxes are all organized and alphabetized, and he finds his box, and it's beautiful. It has a purple ribbon wrapped around it. And he opens the box. And then St. Peter hears this groan from the man, because the man looked inside the box, and what was in there were all the blessings that God was ready to give him. But he had put such a limitation and ceiling on himself, he never received the gifts that Spirit had for him. I think right now, God, the force, the universe, whatever we want to call it, has something amazing for us individually and collectively. And it will happen when we take that soul's journey step by step, thought by thought, spiritual emotion by spiritual emotion. Eventually, the transformation is complete, and unspeakable joy and glory and peace are promised to those willing to take that journey to develop their spiritual self. They will exude the consciousness of this presence. I believe this is our commission. This is our charge. This is why we are here, to unleash the spiritual self. Let's do it. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center.
One heart,
one mind,
one soul at a time.